on a journey together with Zion Imaging. It hurts so bad to watch LSU collapse. And I just honestly couldn't believe that even without Flaje Johnson, and once again, we all know that's the big story, that Flaje will not be available for the SEC tournament. But can you freaking believe that LSU had a collapse of all collapses versus the Ole Miss Rebels just then? Obviously, you heard the stat. They outscored us by more than 20 in the second half. And honestly, I think where this game really fell apart was when Ole Miss had that momentum. I don't understand why we didn't call a timeout to at least change things up, at least make them have to slow down what they were putting on us in the third quarter of that game. And I tweeted this out, and I'll say it again. LSU this season, their weakness is that third quarter. Now, it's ironic because their best moment of the season was that third quarter comeback versus Kentucky a week ago. But I think Kim should have called a timeout to at least regroup. But honestly, if you really think about it, third quarters is just not where LSU is going to shine because we play our players so many minutes. You know, this was another really deep game for Mikayla Williams where, you know, we're playing her so many minutes. And then, of course, Anissa Morrow playing as many minutes as she did. But I don't understand why when Ole Miss started really destroying us, we didn't stop what they were doing. We had all our timeouts. So we elected to not do that. We elected to play it out, and we lose a home game at the end of the year. Now, obviously, we did not want to end the season with the two losses that we had. Also, the Alabama game, we can have a deeper discussion about everything that went down with that as well. But the truth remains the same. This team is still going to host a first four. And you could even make a case that LSU losing might be a good thing in the long run. I prefer this team to be a four seed instead of a two seed. I explained that in our last live stream. We'll get into that a little bit later, but I know a lot of you just want to focus on the game that just transpired. We're also going to talk some LSU baseball and obviously the biggest vacancy in all of LSU athletics is the defensive line coach job. We'll talk about that. Randall Joyner of Ole Miss is definitely a name that's been rumored quite a bit as Gerald Chapman decided to stick it out at Florida. He used to be, of course, at LSU. So let's go to Jay. First comment here. Kim never calls timeouts until the last minute of the game. I don't know why that's the case. But look, I was very shocked how well we played in the first half without Flage. But, you know, it just comes down to minutes. This team really struggles outside of their best three players. And it's really, really, really hard to play when your best three players aren't all there. And I think the problem isn't that there's not other talented players on this team. It's just say they're massive liabilities. And that really hurts. It really, really, really hurts your team. And obviously we like all of them personally. I thought the last year Poa's story of her family flying all the way in from Australia to surprise her on senior day was really, really, really cool. But this to me was another tough game for her. I feel like she needs to be more aggressive as a shooter offensively. But this team outside of Michaela Williams on the perimeter really, really, really is struggling. Tony the Tiger, probably the biggest women's basketball fan that we have on our entire channel. Good to see you. And there we go. Type Y for yes, type in for no. If you can hear me loud and clear, we'll talk some baseball. I think they are still currently playing. But let's take a look at the actual box score from this game. And let's start with, to me, the big story outside of LSU collapsing is the Flage Johnson storyline. Okay. I actually think this is a good thing for this team for a few reasons. Number one, what you do in the SEC tournament just doesn't matter at all. It just doesn't. If you know that you're going to host an opening four set of games, the SEC tournament really doesn't mean anything. There's not really, to me, that big of a difference in a 2, 3, or 4 seed. The second thing is it is going to force LSU just to play more players. I think LSU's reluctance to play other players outside of their big three has hurt them in the long run. So now with Flage not being available, you had today, and then you'll have another game at the SEC tournament for you to at least see what else you have. So, you know, I think Flage is incredible. She's the best player on this team. I do think, though, her resting up and her playing all not only these minutes this year, but all the minutes she had to play last year is going to be good, okay? Now, who should the minutes go to? Because if Flage in SEC play is playing at least 33 minutes per game, how should those minutes be divvied up? Because not only do you have to divvy up her minutes, you also got to, you know, figure out who your other guard or wing's going to be on the court, because Samaya Smith plays so many minutes herself. Another thing that's interesting in how this team operates, I don't know if it's a good thing that you have a player play 30 minutes and she only takes 2 shots. Samaya Smith plays so many minutes, but she never shoots, right? You know, I am of the belief that if you never shoot and I defensively don't have to worry about you scoring ever, okay, I just think you're so much easier to defend. And we've gotten into this debate about the LSU half-court offense and how static it can be at times. But, you know, I think you need to get a little bit more offensively out of her. It was good to see Jersey Wolfenbarger play, but I think she should play more. You can also see Wolfenbarger just does not play with a lot of confidence. She is second-guessing herself quite a bit on the court. And then also, if you're open, shoot the ball. Even if you're not a good shooter, there was a sequence in the second half where Poa was open for a 3, It's not really her game. And she threw a pass to Wolfenbarger, and she just kind of stepped out of bounds, didn't even try to save it. So we obviously have a team that second-guesses himself when they're out there playing. We probably need to play with a little bit more confidence, okay? Now, the next thing outside of Flage being hurt, the lack of confidence, and all of that, is this right here from John Sibley Butler, okay? So this kind of goes along with that last year POA play where she threw the ball away basically to Wolfenbarger, okay? When you shoot the ball, you cannot turn it over. Now, I'm not saying there aren't bad shots, all right? But LSU has a tendency to make passes into very cluttered areas, and that leads to deflections, turnovers, and all of that. We have got to be more aggressive. We just do, okay? But look, the bottom line is you cannot turn the football, I'd say football, basketball over 25 times and expect to win, even in a game that you're up by 15. So, yeah, we need to play better, but we also need to coach better, okay? And you guys know I love Kim. I do. Have her little bobblehead over here. I just couldn't believe we threw that game away. I really, really couldn't believe it. I will also say, though, that this was the clearest example of a team needing a game more than us. Ole Miss really needed that win, okay? You know, they talked about the tournament stakes, not only for Ole Miss, but for Alabama earlier this week. And Ole Miss, in the second half of that game, they did play with a little bit more fight. It did seem, I'm not saying we didn't play hard, but Ole Miss played as if this was an NCAA tournament game. Okay? So, y'all, I think it's also fair to say that our team is still very, very, very solid. It's even very, very, very good. But LSU is not a great team. And that's okay to admit it. We have had great teams for two consecutive seasons. Okay? And then the year before that, we were pretty good. Okay? It's okay to say that we're a very good team. All right? But this gets into where I feel this team is best served in the NCAA tournament. And I think that is as a four seed. Now, we're not going to get to that point. But the reason why I like being a four instead of a two or a three, obviously I prefer the one, is because we don't play a deeper rotation of players. If you are the four seed, that means if you get to the Sweet 16, you're playing the one seed in the first of the two games. So why is that relevant? Well, if you're not that deep of a team, that means the team that you will play is just not going to be is going to be better than the team in theory you're going to play in the 2-3. All right, so I would not mind LSU being a four seeded team, but you know I do think we'll stay roughly in that 2-3 line. It just depends what's going to happen in the SEC tournament, but. You know, I titled this video before we even went live, before the game even began. If Kim Mulkey makes a Final Four with this team, that would be by far her biggest coaching accomplishment in her career, even more than the Natties. The Natties made sense. We had national championship caliber players, and we do on this team as well. But, you know, I think if you've watched this team enough this year, you know that this team just isn't as good as her other LSU teams, okay? And that's okay. That's okay. That doesn't mean that this team can't make a run. That doesn't mean that this team can't go to the Final Four. But we are not elite this year. Last year, I thought we had a very, very good borderline elite team. Obviously, the year before, we had an elite team. We won the whole damn thing. But we're a step behind some of these other schools, okay? So There you go. Now, next thing. We do it at the end of every game. Let's go through the box score. LSU, we shot the basketball better. But this is where I want to bring up the turnover thing again. So you take a look at the rebounds, and LSU had 34 rebounds compared to Ole Miss's 38 rebounds. But we had 8 more turnovers, all right? Now, here's the problem. Look at how few shots we had compared to Ole Miss. Look at how few. We had 17 fewer shots. 17. And we shot the ball well. So sometimes our lack of success is just because we don't shoot when there are shooting opportunities. There's no such thing as a perfect shot unless it is a point blank layup. So shoot the daggum ball. Okay. I was also a little shocked that we didn't get more from Day Wilson, who had been playing a lot better. She only played 12 minutes, but 4 turnovers. It was a sloppy, sloppy, sloppy day. And then, of course, the Kalen Gilbert experience has been mostly good this year, if you ask me, because of the buzzer beaters versus Washington. And then, of course, the big shot versus Tennessee. But a tough day, 4-10 from the field, 26 points, 5 turnovers. And then, of course, you have Anissa Morrow, who played 38 of 40 minutes, 7-10 from the free throw line, 10 of 17 from the field. Ugh, just tough to see her foul out there at the end. You could tell, you know, with this being the last official home game, that this was, you know, tough for her. But, you know, I just want to see a more even shot distribution where, you know, Michaela's, you know, hoisting up 15 a game. Morrow's hosting up, hoisting up 17 in this game. It's not because they want to do that. It's because we're just trusting them to go out there and win us a game every time. And that just, it's just hard. And look, I'm not asking this team to be the Durant Warriors where everybody ate, but we probably need to play more fluid basketball. Okay. Let's go to Kareen Brown. Final 16. Hakeem says, fundamentals and free throws. Let's go to Nate Payne. I like the Breaking Bad photo here. Smith reminds me of Nussmeier not pulling the ball, just limiting your offense. Tony wants to talk a little bit here about Miracle Shepherd. Yeah, she did some good things today, but, you know, can you get more? That's basically it. Can you get more? I will say, though, that this is the second consecutive year where LSU has essentially had a team where they really, really fall off outside of their best players. Okay, so last year, of course, we had Michaela, we had Anissa, and we had Flauje on last year's team. And Michaela wasn't as good as she was this year, but she was still very much playable. A big problem, though, was we could never really get Haley Van Lith going. But even outside of that, we just couldn't get anyone else going. And, of course, Angel Reese was very good for us. But, you know, I'll say it once and I'll say it again. You lose 2 games all season long. And then you have this Alabama game, which I didn't feel all that great about going into it. You know, that was another instance where they were at home and they needed it more and so on and so on. That didn't really shocked me. I was actually fine with that result, even though we did lose the game in overtime. But as Louisiana Mo points out, this is the first time we've lost back-to-back games all year long. I understand some would say, well, it happens. But if you've watched his team this year, it doesn't really shock you that this has happened. It really doesn't. Now, obviously, this has been very LSU focused. Let's give Ole Miss a lot of credit. They did some really, really good things. Give their coach a lot of credit. McEwen, you know, she did a really good job. You know, she's been one of the better coaches in the SEC since she's been there. But one thing I think we struggled with, as you can see, they didn't shoot the ball all too well. Outside of one player, Jacobs was 7 of 8. And Uwala was 5 of 7. So they missed a lot of shots. They couldn't hit those tough long twos, those non-analytically sound shots. But, man, they had so many point-blank shots that they were just able to make. We really struggled rebounding. And, you know, we, in the first half, we played Del Rosario for 1 minute, and she got called for a foul, and it was bang, bang. I didn't think it was a foul, but I would like to have seen her play more. You know, I would have experimented a little bit more with some of the other players. So, yeah, we'll see. Let's go to Lawson. Start Poa, Michaela, Johnson, Morrow, Wolf. Bench Smith, Gilbert, Shepherd. I'm down. I just don't think Samaya Smith is a player that should be playing 30 to 35 minutes a game. I mean, that's just not really her game. That's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of play time. And she had 8 rebounds today. But, God, we really, really, really struggled on the glass and turned the basketball over. So, there you go. Now, we will switch it up and talk some LSU football and some LSU baseball coming up right after this. I will continue, though, the LSU women's basketball discussion. Can LSU find something else off the bench? Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy, We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go.
Let's go
on a journey together with Zion Imaging. I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth Experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Randall Joyner. Could he be the next defensive line coach at LSU? Maybe. Another name to keep an eye out for, he's in the NFL, is Meatball Johnson. He obviously has long LSU lineage. But Randall Joyner is a name that's kind of been buzzing around. Obviously, he has spent some time at Ole Miss. He has spent four seasons at Ole Miss. And what do we know about Ole Miss's defensive lines? Well, they were the best defensive line in college football last year. He's also been with the Ohio State Buckeyes, where he learned under Larry Johnson, who many consider to be the best defensive line coach in college football. So we'll see. Or actually, let me look. I probably should have fact-checked this. When I read his bio a little bit earlier, I didn't check to see if Larry Johnson was actually with this team in 2016 and 2017. I would think that he was, because I think he's been there since, you know, Jesus turned water into wine. But there you go. Now, let's talk a little bit here about LSU baseball, okay? Well, Sam Houston State's mounting a little bit of a comeback. I'm actually going to go watch that game here in just a moment. But I want to go on a little rant. Just a small, tiny rant. All right? Because I feel like you guys come here because I am the voice of the fan. But I also have a journalism degree, so I look at things objectively, all right? So I'm not just biased, super LSU fan. What I can tell you, though, is I consume a lot of sports media, probably more than you do. I care about the insides and outsides of sports media, all right? I know nobody at D1 baseball, not a single human being. But you would be shocked, not only in our Discord chat, where people have been bickering about this, and you guys know I love my patrons, but it's my Twitter DMs, my texts, my phone calls. What can we do to fix this stream? Because D1 Baseball apparently was the provider of the LSU baseball games this weekend, and they messed up. Now, you guys know, I defend sports media more than anybody. I am normally the one defending journalists, okay? I didn't just completely tar and feather some of the media that went after Kim Mulkey last year. I was fair to all parties involved, okay? I cannot defend D1 baseball here. I cannot do it, all right? Why is that? Well, it's simple. Live sports should be done by big, big, big people. And by people, I mean the big ones. ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC. And I understand that that is anti the little guy or whatever, okay? You guys know I'm pro-media, okay? And I would love to see D1 baseball, you know, really move up the rank and file of media providers, because it makes it a lot better, right? If there's, you know, more people involved growing this great sport of college baseball. But I cannot stress enough that live sports is not for everyone. All right. The deepest bag of all deepest bags right now is probably Netflix outside of the traditional networks. Do you know what happened when they tried their hand at live sports? Well, their first big live sports thing was Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. They couldn't pull it off. Netflix. We're talking about freaking Netflix. Netflix has more resources than anyone. They couldn't pull it off. Now, of course, they fixed it, and they were able to, you know, do the NFL and all that stuff. They fixed it, okay? Y'all, live sports is tough to pull off. I'm a part of a broadcast team that provides live sports for on a way smaller scale. And I do the play-by-play, and I have a graphics guy who takes care of all the streaming and all of it. That's hard. And that's, you know, basically one camera and a stream. I'm not having to deal with bandwidth issues. But, man, I felt really bad for all of you watching this weekend. It's inexcusable. It's inexcusable to not be able to provide a service for fans that are trying to watch. And it was a disaster. It was an absolute freaking disaster that this happened. So I am very sorry about that. I wish there could have been something I've done I could do about it. But they weren't ready. They weren't ready. There's no excuses. None. If I am tuning in, I expect the game to be on. It's not something you could cheap out about or whatever. The game needs to be on. Single most important thing in sports, the games. Not me, not my commentary, not anything. The games have got to be on. And simply, I'm with you. I like D1 baseball. I read their stuff because I don't watch a whole lot of college baseball. I watch LSU. I watch some other SEC schools. I think Tony Vitello and Tennessee are an interesting storyline. But, you know, if you're broadcasting a game, you better be able to put it on. Okay. There's no excuses. Do 1,000 different bandwidth checks. All right. And I would highly recommend anyone do this. So the next time you're at Tiger Stadium, you know, they have like the big entrance, all right? Before you go into the main entrance from where the statues are, I want you to look to the left and look at all the production trucks, all right? $1 million production trucks. And just look at the wires and all the shit that's going in and out of it. I used to work in a production truck. It is elaborate. And ESPN has to put those every week for basically every sporting event. It even looks like overkill, but it's not. Every one of those trucks serves a purpose. So I really felt bad for friends of mine like Sherry Berry. Didn't get to watch baseball or softball. Oh, my goodness. We say hi to the Master Blaster. He went to the Texas game a few weeks ago. I wasn't going to bring up the Texas game. John Sibley was so torn being at the game. Another second half collapse from our team. So it's weird. You know, we've had that ridiculous comeback versus Kentucky, and then we've had two massive collapses, one at home, one on the road. Sherry did not get to watch LSU softball over the weekend. Me being the only Beth Tarina fan alive. I guess that's the price of doing business, being a Beth Tarina fan. By the way, LSU softball, still only one loss. Okay? One loss. But I still hear it all the time. This doesn't mean anything until Beth Tarina does it in the postseason. It's not true. You beat Weber State 9-1, and then you beat Notre Dame 10-0. You beat Utah 2-0. Cal State Fullerton lost by one run. So LSU softball, they played all these games this year. They have lost one game by one run. It's crazy. They're kind of good this year. I understand SEC play hasn't started yet, and it's a completely different thing. It is what it is. LSU baseball will likely take care of business. You know, this was interesting, this storyline of Monster Milo moving over to short. You have Daniel Dickinson at second base, and then Brazzy goes from short to third. But look, this team's good. And it's also the same thing. You know, the season just started. We're not in SEC play just yet. We really don't know who the best teams are in college baseball. And it's kind of the same thing where, you know, the teams in the SEC are just so much better in college baseball than everywhere else. So it does change some things. But look, I think LSU baseball is really good. Okay. Now, I've not watched them as intently as a lot of you, but when SEC play rolls around, I'll be tuning in a little bit more. I try not to get too carried away, especially in baseball, with the preseason movement. Also, shout out to everyone who experienced Mardi Gras this weekend. Tuesday can't get here soon enough. I do not know if I'm going to get to go to New Roads for the best Mardi Gras parade on the planet. But I saw Shaquille O'Neal with Bacchus. You got Libby Dunn with Endymion. I think that's pretty cool. Something else I found to be pretty cool. I'm just going through a few miscellaneous things. Anissa Morrow getting the Joe Burrow treatment. Morrow, E-A-U-X on the back of the jersey. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought, as my wife says, I thought that was Neato Torpedo. There you go. I just got a text from a reviewer. Carter, I'm please don't say this aloud. Well, I'm gonna say it aloud. This is a good message to each and every one of you. If you text me or tweet me during a show and say, please don't say this aloud, I'm gonna say it aloud. Okay? I'm kidding. Sometimes you do get messages from sources and all of that. But this comes in. I won't say who. Carter, I just want you to talk about football. Yeah, I know. This offseason is tough. Spring ball is not here yet. We will be doing our practice videos. But look, I would drive myself insane if I didn't talk the other sports. Especially knowing how much I love LSU women's hoops. I mean, I freaking love this team. I really, really, really do. And I love Kim Mulkey. But I think, you know, now reality is starting to set in just a little that for sure the national championship is just without reach or without our reach. Or I didn't say that smoothly at all. It's not within reach. But outside of that, Final Four, is that within reach now? I don't know. I just don't think, you know, Flage is just such a big piece. I just don't think, even though we did collapse and we collapsed versus Texas a few weeks ago, I'm not sure if we could say one way or the other if the Final Four is within reach or not. But right now, I would say we're not making the Final Four. Okay, playing golf with Jared Lee. Nice. Congratulations on that. Cliff says, no, I'm the biggest Beth Tarina fan on here. Freaking love me some Beth Tarina. I will defend her until I'm blue in the face. Okay. One stat that I do want to share, and I do think it could be very misleading. Plus minus. All right. So what is plus minus?
essentially what plus minus is in basketball, and you could probably in theory do this in other sports, but it's more prevalent in basketball because there is just more scoring. Essentially, what plus minus tells you, when you were on the floor, how did the team perform? I want you to notice our plus minus when Jerzy Wolfenbarger was on the court. We were plus six. Now, once again, that is a small sample size. She only played 6 minutes. But the only other player who had a positive plus minus was Del Rosario. She only played a minute. Our lowest plus minus player, though, was Samaya Smith. Minus 13. Okay. That's essentially saying that when Samaya Smith was on the floor, Ole Miss was 13 points better. All right. Now, is that a Samaya Smith stat? It's not. It's not. What this would tell me if I was a coach of LSU is we're playing Samaya Smith too many minutes. But it's not because she's playing bad. And once again, I would like to have if I play someone 30 minutes, I would like to have them to have more than two shots, right? But if my backup post players come in and give me a positive plus minus, and the true post player that I have out there has a negative 13 plus minus, the lowest on the floor, that would tell me, hey, we need to swap her out a little bit more. And for some reason, Del Rosario has not been as good as anyone that's watched would say that it's been, you know, tough sledding for her. But we don't need to have so many players playing 30 plus minutes a game. So I wanted to save that before we got to the end here. Now, here's what you're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, before I go find an illegal stream of LSU baseball, please send me any and all questions, super chats, all of that. But I'll answer any question under the sun. We'll obviously talk more football when the actual practices begin, even though we're not going to have really a lot of information come from them at all. And while you guys share questions, and maybe Sibley's right about this, maybe the drop-off from Samaya Smith to Wolfenbarger and Del Rosario is still too drastic. Because one thing I would say is, like, those two being on the court together just, I don't think, would work. I'm just saying, take Smith out and put one of those players in. All right. Now, out of anything I've ever done, my biggest takeaway from studying my YouTube analytics is that, look, Jared, right on the money. Jared and I have talked about this privately. When I talk about LSU players in the NFL, people just don't care. They care about the current. Okay? Any video I've done along those lines has told me that for years. So that's why I'm saving the combine here for the end. But as many of you know, I care about LSU players in the NFL as much as I care about the women's basketball team or any sport. Because I care. I really do like following every LSU player that goes to the league. I know a lot of you would say, well, I do too. That's not what my analytics tell me. Okay. Will Campbell had one of the best combine performances in the history of the NFL today. Now, there is another offensive tackle by the name of Armand Mimbu of Missouri, who had a better performance than Will did in the combine stuff, and he weighs 10 more pounds. But Will Campbell's a better player. They're both athletic freaks. I think both of them will go in the first round pretty comfortably. But what they accomplished today athletically has only been done by two other offensive linemen in the NFL. One is Hall of Famer Trent Williams, who's still currently playing with the 49ers. Many would say he's the best tackle in football. I would say it's Lane Johnson, but who cares? And the other is Tristan Wirfs of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay, Tristan Wirfs is the best offensive tackle in the NFC South. I'm sorry, it is not Trevor Penning. But Will Campbell is going to be an absolute stud in the NFL. Stud. And he will go in the top 10 picks. Now, why is that relevant? Well, Will Campbell, as many of you know, opted out of the bowl game. And he immediately started training for the NFL to get ready for the combine. I do not think Will Campbell pulls off this athletic feat that has only been done by two other players, along with Mimbu today, if he did not start getting ready for it immediately. He ran a 4.98 40-yard dash at 319 pounds. All right? The dude is incredible. His 9.88 RAS score, which is a relative athletic score. That's what that stands for. It's done by a guy by the name of Keith Lee. And he is a math bomb on Twitter. 9.88 out of 10 is an all-time great score. All right, that puts him up there with Brian Thomas Jr. That puts him up there with Patrick Peterson. Shout out to Will. He deserves all of this. He's always been team first. He's always been there for others. And once again, you know, he's kind of take his greatness for granted. So shout out to you, Will. And shout out to all the other LSU players at the combine. Jack Besh had a very fun week. He ran faster than many expected. And he did the gauntlet drills well, as did Mason Taylor. But the guy that I just keep coming back to when it comes to his production and overall pass rush prowess is Brayden Swenson. Brayden Swenson is a guy that's very, very, very interesting when it comes to pass rushers. This is a deep pass rusher draft. Obviously, Abdul Carter at the very top. You have a guy like James Pierce who's interesting. You know, that list goes on and on. But I just think Brayden Swenson is flying under the radar and will go hopefully day two. And then another guy that was involved with a viral moment, they didn't start the 40-yard dash clock in time. So when Zay Alexander ran his 40, it said 3.86 40-yard dash. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. But, you know, Zay Alexander is also very interesting when it comes to his NFL prospects. So obviously, there will be an LSU Pro Day here in a few weeks, and I don't think Will Campbell is going to test or do anything. It's kind of the Ja'Marr Chase thing when, you know, he destroyed the combine a few years ago, and he only went out there and caught passes. You know, there's just no reason for him to test again because the dude was just a monster during his testing. So, Jared Addison, right on cue here. Will Campbell, I mean, it's that guy is just unreal. And I understand the season didn't go the way we wanted it to when it comes to the LSU offensive line. But I just can't get over how good Will was playing this really difficult position day one. First rep against Jared Verse, who was the best rookie in the NFL defensively last year. Man, crazy. Absolutely crazy. Okay. Now,
I'll take a few more here. There's not really anything else that I wanted to talk about here.
My handy dandy prep sheet. We'll see what happens with the defensive line coach. Let's see. Oh yeah, I probably should. Sibley, thank you for the super chat.
I probably shouldn't mention this, but
we did release a Patrick Payton film study this morning, so please go check it out. I share what I like and a few things that do concern me, but obviously is a really, really, really big pickup. Patrick Payton does one thing better than any defensive lineman I've ever seen at the collegiate level. So make sure you check that out. Okay. Let's go to Sibley, who knows Bo Davis. Why would a coach like Bo Davis remain in college football since it's moving towards a pro model? No recruiting, young kids, headaches, and kids jumping from school to school. So, you know, Sibley and I have talked about Bo Davis some behind the scenes. But, you know, as far as like this pro model, there's still going to be some collegiate things that mostly apply to college football, not to the pros, but we have moved closer towards that pro model. But, you know, one thing I would say, you know, Bo Davis, his big thing is recruiting and developing. That's what he's known for. You know, Bo Davis is not really a mercenary type of defensive line coach. You know, he wants to mold his players. And you can't really do that in a year, right? It's just not him. So, Sibley obviously knows him better than I do. But I'll say after speaking to someone else who that would know, I don't think this move was because he was disgruntled at LSU. I don't think that it was that. It's kind of hard to be disgruntled if you're making $1.25 million a year to coach a position. Not call plays, coach a position. And obviously he loves LSU enough to leave a school like Texas to come home and coach at LSU. So essentially you're still home coaching with the New Orleans Saints and you get one of the 32 coveted NFL jobs. And that now makes it the third coach from LSU to coach defensive line professionally as the defensive line coach that has been at LSU in the past decade. So you have Meatball Johnson at the Ravens. You have Jamar Cain with the Broncos. And now you have Bo Davis with the Saints. And then on top of that, there's an assistant, I believe, with the Vikings, whose name slips my mind. You know, I just think if I had to choose between coaching collegiately and professionally, I think most people would say they would prefer the professional model. You're telling me I don't have to recruit? But I do want to talk a little bit about the Gerald Chapman thing. I thought he was semi-interested in making the move to LSU. But the way I understand it is, you know, at Florida, his defensive line has been really good. You know, he did a really good job coaching that group. And obviously, you know, we got Jack Pyburn over from Florida. They were a slept-on defensive line last year. Chapman was a guy that I really, really, really wanted. Him or Henderson at USC. But once again, Randall Joyner is the name that's been getting steamed. But, you know, there's been a big discussion about the Saints and what the Saints' relationship is with the LSU. And I understand, you know, they're the two big football brands in the state of Louisiana, but they're not in the same city. And the Saints and LSU, I mean, they're such different things that I don't understand folks getting so really caught up in their feelings about the Saints saying, hey, we got to do what's best for us. I've seen a lot of people melt down over this. Would you have left for that same job? I think I would have as well. And I like LSU better than the Saints. You're telling me I can have more money and I don't have to recruit? Saints matched LSU and went higher. Coaches like to develop players. Now you could just coach them 1 year and play against them the next year. Del Rosario will be in the transfer portal, says Coach Winch here. The post play has not been good all season. Yeah, I don't know. I hope she doesn't go in the portal. I hope she develops into the player. I mean, all of us had really high hopes for her this year. Jared said the Saints getting revenge for taking Joe Brady. Hey, hey, hey.
Let's go to Alex.
How have I never been a guest on the Tiger Talk podcast? I want Will to be drafted to the Saints, but realistically, I don't think he will. I see what you did there. Where do I see him getting drafted? I think he'll go top five. You know, the Patriots is where he's been mocked to the most, and they are at pick number four. I don't know.
Like, I'm going through my – I try my best to grade every LSU player when it comes to the NFL. And Will is my offensive tackle one. But there are some other good ones. You know, the Mimbu guy from Missouri is good. And then, of course, Donovan Jackson at Ohio State is interesting. All right, but give me the three-year starter who's gone up against –
some of the best pass rushers you'll ever see in college football over the past couple of seasons. So there you go. Now I'll take a few more here. Another player that's caught the eye of some scouts, not an LSU guy, but another Campbell, Jihad Campbell of Alabama. He tore us up this year. He's good. I think he is borderline special. I also think, if you guys don't mind me here, I think Cam Ward will be the first overall pick by the Tennessee Titans. I do. It's like too eerily quiet him going to the Titans, which is what the Titans would want. So I think that's going to happen. No crazy source info or anything like that. But let's see. No Kyron Lacy at the combine either. Let's go to Preston. I didn't even watch the second half thinking we were good. We in a bit of trouble. Let's see what happens at SEC play this weekend. All right, y'all.
That'll do it for me.
Appreciate once again our friends at Xyan Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. I'm going to try and catch the end of LSU baseball. Kevin says, I think the game has truly passed Kim by. I don't believe that.
I honestly don't believe that.
Because why do they have a top 10 team? If the game had completely passed her by, we would be like an 11 seed. Now, if you want to get into structure of our offense, yeah, you can have a really good debate about that. And we honestly talked about the lack of a timeout. I don't think the game's passed her by. I think that's a little too hot takey. So there you go. It is!
Pow, ow, LSU, boom!
And tonight we are doing... What are we doing? We're doing steaks. Let's go. Let's go.